everybody. I'm Gary Ebersol.
Richard Kipling here.
And I'm Randy Schultz.
Welcome to Camp Codger, a podcast for people in their golden years. Join us to hear rocking chair wisdom from three old guys. Randy has a suggestion for you this week. Get your butt off the couch. However, before he explains his request, or maybe his command, I want to tell you about a friend of ours who is our Codger of the Week, Marge Brooks. Sadly, Marge died rather suddenly earlier this week. She played a key role almost 25 years ago in bringing two of the old codgers together. It all began when she hired Patty, Randy's wife, and Bee, my wife, as hospice nurses in the late 1990s. Marge herself was also a longtime hospice and home care nurse, and she was considered the glue that held the nursing team together. One of the founders of the hospice center in Santa Fe described her as no-nonsense, hard-nosed, and practical, but with a warm and caring heart who always put her patients' welfare first. Marge was also one of our very first and most loyal Camp Codger listeners. She was delighted to tell folks how much she enjoyed listening to the old codgers ramble on. Marge, we'll miss you. Randy, I'm really comfortable stretched out here on the sofa. Tell us when it's time to get up off the couch.
Today's episode of Camp Codger is called Get Your Butt Off the Couch. If you're a fan of Camp Codger, you've probably heard me say, get your butt off the couch, at least a time or two.
Oh, yes.
At least a time or two. It's one of my mantras, and we all know how important it is for older folks to exercise. Exercise is part of a healthy lifestyle. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, some of the benefits of exercise include improving our overall moods, reducing our blood pressure and the risk of falls, reducing symptoms of anxiety and depression, increasing energy level, helping you sleep at night, and maintaining healthy bones, muscles, and joints. Exercise can be almost anything that gets your butt off the couch. There, I said it again. And requires you to move your body. Walking your dog, doing stretches, taking a jazzercise class, doing line dancing at a local country bar, yoga, water aerobics, and playing pickleball are all ways to exercise your body. There are probably hundreds of ways to get exercise. And we want to remind all of you who are listening that Gary, Richard, and I are not doctors, and we encourage you to check with your doctor before embarking on any new exercise program. But with that disclaimer in place, Richard, what kinds of exercise do you like to do?
Well, Randy, I've been an exercise addict all my life. These days, it's hiking, biking, and walking. I feel guilty and psychologically and physically bad if I don't get exercise every single day. So every day, I attempt to do something for at least an hour or more. My attempt at walking is to average 5 miles a day. Oftentimes, I fall short of that over the week, but not too short. So I'll get at least 20 or so miles a week of walking or hiking in every week, and I can't do without it.
Wow, that's a great way to start the show. Gary, how about you?
I'm kind of a late bloomer when it comes to exercise. I didn't really start until I was in my late 30s. I'd quit smoking, lost weight, really got serious because I started running marathons and doing century bike rides. But that was a long time ago, almost 35 years ago. Today, hiking in the mountains, you know, maybe 3 to 5 miles if I get a good hike in. Road biking, 15 to 20 miles is a good ride. But the real focus for me is on the aerobic side of it, focusing on the intensity and just getting my heart rate up. In the winter, I go skiing. One of the must-dos on my list, which isn't on my list, is resistance training, weight training. Mm-hmm. I keep telling myself, someday I'm going to start. I really, really got to do it because the data is really compelling. Anyway, that's my exercise regimen.
That's a great way to start also. You know, both of you are pretty active when it comes to exercise, and that's a wonderful thing. The one exercise I do every day is taking my dog Baxter for a walk. I talked about Baxter in our pets episode, he really is a good positive influence on me getting my butt off the couch. Mm. I must admit, it's not the most intense workout. Walking your dog through the neighborhood involves a lot of stops and a lot of moments for Baxter to smell whatever smell there is. But for me, it does get me out. It gets me moving. And some of the walk is faster than some parts of the walk, but it gets me out of the house. I'm also a member of Planet Fitness, which is the cheap man's gym. Sorry,
good value though.
Sorry, Planet Fitness, but that is the way your pricing structure is figured out. For $10 a month, honest to God, for $10 a month,
$10 a month, you can get
a lot of people to the gym that wouldn't normally go. I get a little aerobic exercise from the ellipticals, and I do some resistance training, some weight training. Between those two things, that's probably my winter regimen. During the summer, I'm biking more, I'm hiking more. During the colder months, that's where I exercise. Based on our quick survey of ourselves, we all agree that exercise is important, and we all make a point of exercising. The question that comes to mind is, how long should you exercise? According to the National Institute on Aging, the goal is to achieve at least 150 minutes, that's 2.5 hours of moderate intensity endurance activity every week. Being active at least 3 days a week is best, but doing anything is better than doing nothing. If you can't do 150 minutes a week, do as much as your condition allows or your doctor recommends. So with that as a baseline recommendation, Richard, how many minutes of exercise do you think you get in a typical week?
I walk an hour and a half a day, I'd guess, on average. The place where I exercise, it's beautiful. It isn't just exercise of the muscles. It's exercise of the eyes and the ears, the beautiful sounds and smells and sights. And as I said, I am addicted to exercise.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. Gary, how about you? How much time do you spend exercising?
I'll hit 250, 300. That's my target for the week. So on a bad week, let's be honest, we're going to skip a day here. We're going to skip a day there. And some of these weeks drift back to 4 or 5 times a week instead of 6 or 7.
I'm with you guys. The Baxter walk, if you add that up, that's 3.5 hours a week, because I don't miss a day generally. Unless here in Colorado, it is snowing like crazy and it's 15 degrees outside, you know, then I'll say, Baxter, you're on your own. Enjoy the backyard. We'll see you in 2 minutes, right? But that's what the health club is for. That's why I go to Planet Fitness. Not that this is an ad for a particular gym. They're all fine. And I try to go 2 or 3 times a week for at least an hour. Those two things gets me, you know, well past the 150-minute baseline. And then in the summer, it's much easier for me.
I think part of getting exercise is the mental break. It's very easy to sit in front of your computer, in front of your iPad, and while away the hours. They're gone. And you realize you haven't been outside. Mm. And it is a really good mental break, I find, just to be outside away from the computer for a while.
Well, the one thing that we might want to recommend to our listeners is, if you're new to walking and hiking, maybe you should take your smartphone and ask for the latest episode of, Camp Codger while you're walking. One of the things I think that we need to talk about in this show is the extra element that comes along with a lot of exercising, and that is the social element. Taking any kind of exercise class also comes with a social component, and taking a walk is even better in the company of a friend or a family member. Gary, what's your favorite exercise that also involves some element of social activity?
I don't really look to exercise for social activity. In fact, the asocial or antisocial side of me comes out when I'm out hiking. It almost drives me insane when I'm on a trail. You're listening to the wind in the trees. You're just out there enjoying the quiet. And up the trail, you hear these voices. and they're chattering. And I call them the nonstop loud trail chatterers. Now, I don't mind a quiet conversation, a few words here and there, and then a little bit of silence for a while. But there are people out there who literally will talk from the moment they get out of their cars all along the trail. They can't deal with silence. I like to hike with people, but I don't think you need to chatter nonstop. My hiking partners tend to be, you know, we'll say a few words there, make some comments, but it just isn't nonstop. So hiking, a little bit of conversation, a little bit of partnership is a great thing. Skiing, when you're riding up the lift, you got nothing else to do, it's a great time to talk. Mm-hmm. And maybe, just maybe someday, pickleball.
What about you, Richard?
I'm with you, Gary, on the hike thing. You're hiking up a beautiful trail and you hear people chattering or talking in loud voices. I actually stop a lot of times to let those folks, if they're going the same way I am, let them get way ahead so I don't hear that. Because, again, I like to hear the sounds of nature, not the sounds of voices. Otherwise, a neighborhood walk is great because there are all the other people out walking. There are people in their yards. And it's great. Sometimes you stand and talk for 10 minutes and establish a new relationship. And so that part is great. Basically, I think it does have a social aspect when you're walking the neighborhood, and I think it's a good one.
And that's one of the reasons why I love walking the dog.
Well, you got a special deal.
Well, I got a very friendly dog. And you know what? When I'm walking him, I am in the mood to socialize. And it tends to be a neighborhood walk more often than not. I'll take him up to the trails. There's a particular dog-friendly trail not far from here. But even that is sort of a social thing because there's dogs and there's people and you comment as you walk by. And so I'm kind of in the mood for socializing when the dog's present. Yep. When it's just me hiking, yeah, I don't need to have a whole lot of social contact. You guys make fun of me for this, but I actually am enjoying the process of learning how to play pickleball and getting better at it because, again, that's a social game. You're playing with somebody. At the very least, there's one person on the other side of the net, and you guys are hitting it back and forth to each other. Very social, a combination of exercise and just visiting, just enjoying somebody's company. For me, I'm really looking forward to warmer weather so I can have more of that. One of the things that we have to recognize as we get older is that there are some things, there are some ways of exercising, whether it's, you know, playing tennis or whatever, that required a lot of agility, a lot of stamina, a lot of, I don't know, youthful energy. Have you guys had to give up anything in your exercise world?
Oh my God. What haven't I given up? I find that part of my world is narrowing and narrowing. I used to play everything, tennis, basketball, pickleball, racquetball, soccer, of course. Every one of those things has been crossed off my list. I just can't do them anymore. A number of my injuries have come from racquetball and soccer. Yeah, I can't do those things anymore. And I'll tell you, I don't only miss the activity, I miss the competition, the competitive urge.
Oh, you are one of those competitive guys.
Well, I was. Can't do it anymore. So, yeah, a lot of things have been given up. I take a lot more pleasure in my walks and my hikes now than I did, say, 20 years ago when I had all these other activities I could do. And I'm lucky enough to be able to walk and hike in a pretty vigorous way.
Have you thought about a senior basketball league?
Oh, God, would that be great.
Would that be fun?
It'd be so fun, but you know what? You're asking for an injury. One jump shot away from twisted ankle or knee or whatever.
I think that's one of the issues we have to deal with as we get older in the nature of our exercise. I gave up running about 20 years ago because of age, because it just wasn't feeling right. The thing that's happening now recently is I've actually been thinking about giving up skiing. Now, I haven't told my ski buddy, Jim, that I'm actually thinking about it, but we did talk about it yesterday when we were skiing. Skiing is fun. You go fast. You carve some great turns. You really feel good. But when you're in your mid-70s, you think, oh, geez, what happens if I fall? What happens if I break something? That, to me, is getting to be the prevalent factor. at our age, we recover far more slowly from injuries than we did when we were 30 years old or 40 years old. I'm seriously thinking about whether I'm going to ski for another season.
Oh, boy. That's a big one. How often do you ski?
Oh, probably only 4, 5, 6 times a winter.
But you look forward to it, right?
I look forward to it. But when you get tired at the end of the day, you're thinking, I don't know. And you realize, oh, boy, I really don't want to fall at 25 miles an hour.
But sadly, any kind of running now, I don't feel comfortable doing it. I would much rather walk much more vigorously than even run slowly. And that's just me kind of yielding to age. I am going to continue to get my butt off the couch because I know how good that is for me. I welcome something like pickleball. I mean, you guys tease me, but it's one of those sports that I swear was invented for older folks. It's so perfect for us. We don't have to run as far. You don't have to hit the ball all that hard. It's a nice way to get aerobic and impact exercise. I mean, because you are doing a little bit of running around in a safe environment. And at the same time, it's fun. It's just fun.
Yeah, and the feeling of smacking a ball. I mean, I played pickleball until my knees said, you can't do this either. Smacking that ball, even though it's a wiffle ball, is really satisfying.
Now it goes plunk, plunk,
yeah.
Plunk. Well, it's not a solid thud.
No.
A bat striking a baseball or a 100-mile-per-hour tennis serve. It's ping, pong.
Yeah,
ping,
it is.
Pong.
And I think that's one of the takeaways as we have this conversation. We're not as young as we used to be, and we have to accept that. But we don't have to accept being inactive as the only other choice. We do what we can do. Do what your body tells you can do. If you're starting from a baseline of nothing, get out there and do something. And the amazing thing is, I just heard this on a video online. Do it again. And do it again, because each time you do that exercise or that activity, your body gets stronger and that activity gets easier and it gets to be more fun. The one thing I want to make sure people leave this podcast with is a feeling that you can keep doing it. You might have to change what it is you're doing, but you can keep moving your body.
You resist that urge to not get off the sofa, to sink a little deeper into the couch. That's the hard part. Is you get those days and you're thinking, well, it's a little gray outside. You know, I'll catch up tomorrow. That's the problem. You need the discipline, which is one of the reasons, as Randy, you and I talked about this several months ago on an episode about keeping score. I keep score. I have my Strava app that I record all my exercise on. It doesn't mean that I'm trying to compete with all the thousands of other people who are using the app. It's just my method of keeping score that I'm out there, I'm doing something. When the app shows you haven't done anything for 3 days, you're thinking, I got to get going again.
And when we talked on that other episode about keeping score, what precipitated that was me playing golf and not keeping score. And we would be remiss if we did this entire episode without mentioning the sport of golf, which is also pretty well tailored to an older body. If you've ever played golf, you can play golf without breaking a sweat. You're out in nature, at least manicured nature. You're driving around in a golf cart, which is a fun experience. So you're doing some exercise, but it's really not that strenuous.
Well, you should carry your bag. Come on, all 18 holes, you carry that bag.
Yeah, let's see you carry a bag for 18 holes.
That's a 5-mile walk.
Anyway, guys, this has been fun. I hope that we've maybe inspired some folks. We've talked about the many benefits of exercising and the many ways that you can exercise, including having a great social experience during some of this exercise. There's one more benefit that I want to mention, though. The Alzheimer's Association says growing evidence indicates that people can reduce the risk of cognitive decline by adopting key lifestyle habits such as healthy exercise. So exercise is good for your brain too. We hope we have inspired some of you to get your butts off the couch. I had to say it one more time. You know I just had to say it one more time. And as always, we love it when you comment on our episodes. Just go to campcodger.com and let us know if you liked this episode and suggest a topic for a future episode.
Join us next week when I try to explain to the old codgers why it's so hard for me to get rid of the stuff I have been collecting over the past 50 years. No, I'm not a hoarder, just a guy with too much stuff filling up his office and garage.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to Camp Codger on your favorite podcast app or sign up on our website. As always, we would love to hear from you. Drop us an email at campcodger@gmail.com or leave a comment in this episode at www.campcodger.com.